welcome to the Crawl Space. This is episode 34. And this episode is going to be about Marcia King. But just forget her name right now, because I know you're going to see it in the title. But just bear with me. Buckskin Girl. This was the nickname given to an unidentified body found in April 1981 in Miami County near Troy, Ohio. The reason she was given this name was due to the jacket being found near her body. Buckskin Girl's name would finally be revealed 37 years later, and her name was Marcia King. I will not get too far ahead of myself. I'll go back to when she was found in 1981. The body was found along Greenlee Road in Newton Township, west of Troy, Ohio, not far from I-75. Remember this road. Well, this interstate. A passerby had first noticed a deerskin poncho, and then the body would be discovered right after. She had been placed along the road in a fetal position on her right side without shoes or socks on. She had suffered trauma to the head and neck and was strangled and had a lacerated liver. The police felt she had been killed somewhere else and left on the road after her death. They felt this because her bare feet were not dirty. They figured if she had walked along the road, or, you know, the side of the road, then her feet would have been dirty. So some believe that she had no shoes or socks on because she was killed by an abusive spouse. But at the time of her death, they felt she may have been a teenage runaway or a possible victim of a serial killer. Keep this in mind. I'll go into a little bit more detail later on. Who had murdered multiple sex workers in the area. The only problem is the scene didn't show any signs of sexual assault, rape, or other sexual activity. They felt she was not a sex worker either. She was described as having naturally reddish brown hair that was in pigtails. Her eye color was light brown. She had freckles across her face, and her nose was described to be very pointed. Her personal hygiene was described as good. And this made them question if she was a runaway or not, because she had been able to get hygiene products before her death. She was described as having a ruddy complexion, meaning she had been outdoors a lot. She was between 5'4" to 5'6" and weighed about 125 to 130 pounds. She had several scars on different areas of her body, and at the time when they found her body, she had Wrangler jeans on with a patterned brown-orange turtleneck pullover sweater with a 32D white bra on. The deerskin poncho as well, and the police felt it was handmade with purple lining. The result of her death was determined to be strangulation, and they tried to figure out who she was early on by creating a sketch of her face. They would publish this in local papers and television networks. A good amount of leads would surface from this attention, but nothing solid came from the tips. She would eventually be buried in the Riverside Cemetery in Miami County, Ohio, with her tombstone displaying the words, Jane Doe, April 22, 1981. They would keep her clothes in storage. One thing they were able to do was obtain her fingerprints, since she hadn't been dead long when her body was found. I've read within 36 hours. So it hadn't been very long since she'd been there. But for that reason, they were able to obtain her fingerprints, and they were also able to collect, you know, her dental and DNA information as well. And in 2008, this would allow her information to be entered into the National Missing and Unidentified Person System. This would allow her information to be available to other departments. Some felt she was not from the area, and this would be true. Once she was finally identified in early April 2018 through DNA performed by the DNA Doe Project, this allowed them to learn she was originally from Arkansas. This would go with some beliefs that's why she hadn't been identified for so long, because where she's not from the area, you know, Arkansas all the way to Ohio. So it was speculated she had not been in Ohio very long. And it was reported that her family never reported her missing, even though they kept searching for her throughout the years. But I also read the police didn't file a report because she was an adult at the time she disappeared. So I read that the family didn't go, and then I read that they did. The police, just like I said, she was an adult, so that happens all the time. They have their own free will to go. So whether they did or didn't, you know, that's not the concern right now. But Marcia's mother even lived in the same house and kept the same number just in case she would contact her at some point. Her family and police are now working on changing her tombstone to display her name, So hopefully they'll be able to do that soon. A little bit about Marcia. She was born on June 9th, 1959. She was 21 years old at the time of her death. It seems from what I've read that she was last seen by her family, I'm assuming, in 1980. I don't say if it's early, late. But it does seem from everything I've read that she was a known traveler. And when they tested her clothes in 2016, they found some particles that placed her in various different locations in the United States. The police felt she was in Louisville, Kentucky, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in March 1981, so a month before she was found. Now I'll go into some of the suspects I found. But I said earlier about a possible unknown serial killer who had murdered at least 7 to 10 prostitutes along I-75. Remember, she was dumped not too far from I-75. But she was fully clothed and wasn't a known sex worker. I stumbled upon a truck driver being mentioned in a few things I read. His name is a mystery, but his CB handle was Dr. No, like N-O. They believed he was between the ages of 25 and 40 years old, and a lot of the local prostitutes were scared of this man. Is Marcia connected to this? It's possible, but does seem unlikely. It's something, you know, you can't rule out because the case still remains unsolved. But there are a few things that match up because of the way she was killed and stuff. But I guess some of the other ones, you know, strangulations, which that's a common method for serial killers to do. A lot of them do strangle them. But with her being fully clothed and all that, it just, I don't know, it just don't seem like she might have been, you know, the victim of the serial killer. But there's another line of killings known as a redhead murders. This theory seems to be ruled out, though. I won't go into much detail because I'll tell you this. I'll be covering these murders here soon on the podcast, probably next episode or the episode after that. But this name popped up while I was reading on this case. His name is Joseph D. I need to just start doing episodes that I can pronounce people's names. But it's Benasutti. It's Benasutti. He is right now in prison in Ohio with charges of abuse of corpse, involuntary manslaughter, assault, possession of criminal tools, attempted murder, and kidnapping. He lived in Miami County area from my understanding the 1990s. I'm not sure about the 80s. But he was born in December 1958, so he would have only been a little bit older than Marcia. He was being accused of murdering a girl in Covington, Kentucky in 1994. An individual wanted to connect where Marcia was possibly in Louisville, Kentucky in March before her death. The only problem is the big gap in between the two. You know, you're going from 81 to 94. Big gap. It would turn out that Joseph did not kill the female from Kentucky. So I really don't see a connection here between Joseph and Marcia, but I decided to write Joseph to see what he has to say about it. And at the time of this recording, I have not heard back from him, but we'll let you all know when and if he does. I'll be surprised if he does write back, because most of them don't talk about their case or cases that they, you know, were accused of. So we'll see. He might just be lonely in prison. But my theory doesn't mean a lot because I'm not an expert. But I kind of feel since Marcia was a known traveler that she hitchhiked a lot to get, you know, to where she was going. I personally believe she hitchhiked with the wrong person. It would be like one of those wrong places at the wrong time type scenario. But I believe she was basically a victim of opportunity. You know, it most likely was a male that picked her up, probably thumbing for a ride to go to her next state, town, county, whatever. And maybe he wanted something from her. She wouldn't give it, so he killed her. She could have been picked up by somebody she knew, but it depends on what kind of connection she had all over that she places she visited. But like I said, I just see that a male individual most likely picked her up and saw this was a chance of opportunity. He might not have meant to kill her, but it just resulted in her death, and then he just dumped her on the side of the road. But hopefully one day she will get justice and her killer will be found. But until then, the investigation continues.